Morning. Today's daf and tomorrow's your test. We start today on the Mishnah in Chesam and Beis. The third parak of Tamura isolates every one of the karbanos in regards to Tamura. How does Tamura affect every one of the karbanos? So in the opening Mishnah of the parak, going back to your Zayin and Beis, the Mishnah dealt with the Shlamim. How do we treat the Vlad of a Shlamim? How do we deal with the Tamura of a Shlamim? How do we deal with the Vlad of a Tamura of a Shlamim? So basically, you have all this production, all this derivative coming out of a Shlamim. So when it comes to the Karban Shlamim, the halacha is very clear, and that the Tamura is going to be offered the same way that the original animal is as well, as is the Vlad. So you have all this replication of Karbanos coming from one animal, but nevertheless, it's all going to be treated like the original. That is as it relates to a Karban Shlamim. We saw yesterday a machlokus between Rebbe Lazar and the Chachamim regarding the Vlad Shlamim. Rebbe Lazar feels that there's a gzeira that one should make. One should not be offering the Vlad Shlamim because Shema Yigadol Behem Adarim Adarim. If you are allowed to offer the offspring of a Shlamim, you're just going to let it linger around and wait till it breeds. And as Rashi explained yesterday, and then you'll be in violation, or you may be in violation of Giza Va'avodah, shearing or working the animal. That is as it relates to Karban Shlamim. Yesterday we did the Mishnah regarding a Karban Todah. So as far as a Vlad Karban, I'm sorry, yeah, as far as a not Vlad, right? We could say Vlad as well. Sorry. As far as the Vlad and the Tamura of a Karban Todah is concerned, same thing, right? It's going to be offered as a Karban Todah. The only notable difference is that when it comes to the original, the primary Karban Todah, so that you bring the 40 loaves of bread. When it comes to any of the production, any of the derivatives of the Karban Todah, so you don't bring the lechem. And the Gemara quoted yesterday drashas to help us arrive at that conclusion. Okay, with that in mind, now we're up to the Tamura of a Karban Olah. So we did Shlamim, we did Karban Todah, now we're up to Karban Olah. So we are on the Mishnah, Yud Ches Amud Beis, Tamura's Olah. Tamura's Olah, Vlad Tamura, Vlad Vlada, Atzov Kala Olam, Hare Elu, Ka'ola, Utaunim, Heshav, Nituach, Ve'Kalil, Le'ishim. So if I have the Tamura of an Olah, so the person made an exchange between one Karban Olah and another Karban Olah, and so that means that the primary and both the secondary are going to have Kedushas Karban Olah, so it's going to be offered as a Karban Olah. That's great. That's what we would have expected. Vlad, Tamura, what about the offspring of its Tamura? Now, the offspring of its Tamura, let's think this through. There's not going to be an offspring of a Karban Olah. We're not going to be discussing that, and it's for a very simple reason. The Karban Olah is a male animal. And so, biologically, it's not going to produce an offspring. However, when it comes to the Vlad of a Tamura, so what does that mean? It means that what we did is the following. We did an exchange, a Tamura exchange between the primary and the secondary. Primary Olah obviously being a male. The secondary being a female. That's weird because it's weird, but it makes sense. Meaning, so what we did now is that we transferred over the Kedusha of the Karban Olah from A to B. It just happens to be that B is a female. Oh, and it also happens to be that an Olah doesn't come from a female. You know what's interesting? The Mishnah really doesn't even address what do we do with our secondary animal, right? Our female animal that is Kedusha's Karban Olah. It's so interesting. The Mishnah doesn't really address what do we do with that animal. I could guess, but I'm not going to because what would be the point? I don't know. I'll start there.
But how?
All you're going to get out of me is a guess. I don't know. But the Mishnah, however, talks about the vlad of that animal. So in other words, so this animal now, so it is a tamura of a Karban Olah, and it has an offspring. So what do we do with the offspring? So if you think about it, it can be a little bit confusing, because on one hand, its primary animal, or let's say it even a little bit better, its source animal is a standard Karban Olah. And so now to get to this, now we're at a male animal with the Kedusha of a Karban Olah, so you bring it as a Karban Olah. Okay, that's one way to think about it. Another way to think about it is it comes from a female Karban Olah, meaning you wouldn't be offering the mother as a Karban Olah. The mother females are not brought as Karban Olah. So its mother is a Karban Olah, which is not something that you would be bringing. And meanwhile, but it's a male. In other words, the offspring of the Tamura of the Karban Olah is a male. So the Mishnah over here takes what seems to be a very clear and decisive position. And the Mishnah says, yeah, you bring it as a Karban Olah. You bring it as a Karban Olah. Okay. So we're going to spend a lot of time thinking about these types of scenarios today. So we were just early on in the daf today introduced to this scenario of you have starts with a Karban Olah, and then transfer the Kedusha to a female, which is not brought as a Karban Olah. Again, what do we do with it? I can only guess. I really don't know. And then what happens is that it produces an offspring. Its offspring is male. So the Mishnah says you bring it as a carbon ola. Right, Vlad Tamura, Vlada, Atsof Kala Olam. And again, now once we're at the point where offsprings are offered, so then there is no limit in terms of how many offsprings are offered. First generation, second generation, third generation, etc., Atsof Kala Olam. And all the halachas of a carbon ola. The Mishnah points out Harika Ola, it requires Hefshev, Vinituach, you have to flay it, you have to cut into pieces. Vikalil, it's burnt in its entirety on the Mizbech, Li Shim. Okay, good. All right, that's the first half of the Mishnah, already getting us into a complex scenario where I have an Ola, exchanging it, doing a Tamura transfer to a female, having the female produce a Vlad, and the Vlad is going to be offered as a carbon Ola. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. Hamafrish Nekeva La'Ola. Now, in this next part of the Mishnah, we start off a little bit funny. How do we start off funny? So we have the female animal, and the owner is Mafrishit as a carbon Ola. Okay. So here now, it's going to get a little bit strange. Because, right. Is right. It's, in other words, it can't be offered as carbon Ola. One way to look at it is almost like it's a bomb moment. So like, it's like a blemished animal. It is not. But it's like a blemished animal. In other words, it's not eligible. A blemished animal is not eligible to be brought as a carbon. This is not eligible to be brought as a carbon Ola. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Hamafrish Nekeva La'Ola V'Yalda Zachar. So fine. So the mother, again, you're not going to be offering as a carbonola because she's a female, and females don't come as a carbonola. But she then, she conceives and she has a baby. Mishnah says, Yira Achistayiv. So let her graze, let the offspring, let's assume the offspring is male. Let it graze, develop a blemish, V'yimakir, sell it V'yami B'damav Ola. And with the proceeds of the sale, what you'll do is you'll purchase for yourself a carbonola with those proceeds. Okay, so that means as follows. According to the first opinion of the Mishnah, it's called the Tanakama. So in a scenario where I have an offspring of a carbonola, but its mother obviously was ineligible to be brought as a carbonola, so its kedusha is not greater than its mother. Meaning its mother can't be offered as a carbonola, so it as well cannot be offered as a carbonola neither. And therefore, but it still has kedusha taguf, so you go through the regular protocol of graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and proceeds of the sale will go towards a regular carbon ola. Rabbi Elazar Omer, who atzmo yikrav ola? Rabbi Elazar says, no, that's not necessary. Meaning what you invested in the mother is kedushas carbon ola. Granted, you cannot have offered the mother as a carbon ola, but nevertheless, it is her, she is a carbon ola. You can't offer her, but she is a carbon ola. So when she produces an offspring, that's a male, so the male is a carbon ola, and therefore can be offered as a carbon ola. Okay. This is a machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar. Now, when you think about the Mishnah, you realize the Mishnah is seemingly a little inconsistent. There are two cases in the Mishnah. One, two we're going to be focusing on. One, a scenario in which you start off with a standard carbonola. You then did a tamur to a female. The female then had a vlad. In such a scenario, the Mishnah says you offer the vlad of the tamura of the ola. Even though its mother is ineligible, but nevertheless you offer it. And the Mishnah did not give any argument on that. The Mishnah said that very flatly, very clearly, and without dispute. Then the Mishnah dealt with a scenario where the person originally was mafrish the mother as a carbonola. Obviously, you cannot offer the mother as a carbonola. So, but if it has an offspring, so what do I do with that offspring? Machlokis in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rebbe Elazar. Tanakam says you're going to be letting it graze, develop a blemish, shell it, etc. And Rebbe Elazar says, no, you can offer it. Now, Rebbe Elazar would be very happy with the case of the Ola Tamura Vlad. Right? For him, it'd be the same. But why is the Chachamim not arguing in the first case as well? That's the Gemara's question. That's where we open up with today. Maishna Resha Dola Pligi, Maishna Seva De Pligi. Good. So that's our opening question. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana b'machlokishnuya v'Rabbi Elazar hi. Okay, so Rabbi Bar Bachana says that really what is in the Mishnah is a double machlokis. A machlokis about both cases. The Mishnah only introduced us to the machlokis in the second case, not in the first case. So according to Rabbi Bar Bachana, it's the same. So the first case of the Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Elazar and not going like the Chachamim. Okay. Rabbi Amar afilu tamar Rabbanan. Now Rabbi is going to give a more conceptual answer. And that is that there's a difference between the first case and the second case of the Mishnah. So in the second case of the Mishnah, where you started off with a female animal that you were mafrish as a carbonola. So already it is the original hakdasha was done with a deficiency. You can't offer the mother as a carbonola. So whatever emanates from her, whatever is a product of her, is going to retain that same deficiency, according to the Chachamim, and therefore cannot be offered as a carbonola. However, in the first case of the Mishnah, where we went carbonola to Temura, to the Vlad of the Temura, so if I go back to its sourcing, what is its sourcing? The sourcing is a standard carbonola. So you could say that the Vlad of the Temura, of the Nola, is taking on the identity of the original. And since the original is a carbonola, so the Vlad also is going to be offered as a carbonola. Aval Temura, as opposed to the second case, the Imei Nami. Now, I know the Gemara says the word Imei meaning its mother. But here, as Rashi explains, it doesn't mean its mother. It means its source. Since the source of it is also going to be offered, Kreva, Afilu Rabbana Modi, that's why the Chachamim would be Modi. Okay, so a beautiful conceptualization of distinguishing between the first case of the Mishnah and the second case of the Mishnah. Gemara says, now let's think this through. We're saying now in the Mishnah that according to Rebbe Lazar, so the offspring of a female carbonola can be offered as a carbonola. Is that right? The Gemara says, consider the following brisa. I'll say better. A Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. So Temuris Asham. The Temuris Asham, Vlad Temura, Vladan, Vlad Vladan, Atzov Kala Olam, Yirach Yistava, Yimakir, Yiplu, Damav, Lindava. So we have the Mishnah giving us the case of the Temura of an Asham. Now, Asham is a male animal. A Temura of an Asham is going to be, is not going to be offered, but rather Temura Asham is going to be left to graze, develop a blemish, and sold, and to which the proceeds are going to go to Nadava. And in a moment, we're going to clarify what Nadava means. But in the meantime, however, why is it that tomorrow's Asham is not going to be offered? So we know the answer. I'm reviewing for us. We've seen this time and again. It's one of the most basic principles that we've seen in our Masechta, and that is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Halach L'Moshe Misinai incorporates two things. One, a tomorrow of a chatas, it's holech l'misa. It's to be disposed of. Two, is that whatever scenario in a carbon chatas is holech l'misa, so by the corresponding scenario of a asham, also not holech lemisa, but yira, but let it graze, develop a blemish. So this is part of halach l'moshe misinai. So fine, so I have a tomorrow asham, so it is going to let it. We're going to let it graze. Now that part's clear. No one's disputing that. Well, that's not true. That point is going to be disputed. But vlad tomorrow. But what about the offspring of a tomorrow? So what does that mean, the offspring of a Temura, right? So again, it must mean what we described in our Mishnah, a scenario in which the original animal was a male, standard carbon asham. Then what you did is that you did a Temura to a female animal, injecting it with the Kedusha of a carbon asham. Then it has an offspring, the offspring is a male. And so we now have a scenario where I have the offspring of a female carbon asham, and what do I do with it? So according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, so let it graze, develop a blemish, etc., etc. Rebbe Lazar, Omer Yamusa. Now, Rebbe Lazar is of the opinion that what you do is you consign it and let it die. Why? Meaning our Temura Sasham. So this is based on the opening daf of Zvachim. In the opening daf of Zvachim, we learned that according to Rebbe Lazar, so he feels that there is an equivalency between a Chatas and an Asham. Whatever is true by a Chatas is going to be true by an Asham as well. And so since Temura Chatas is Holech Lemisa, so too by Temuris Asham, Holech Lemisa. That's Rebbe Lazar Shita. Right. The Girsa over here, correct. That's absolutely correct. The Tana Rebbe Eliezer. And now Rebbe Lazar Omer, now there's a, right, that's a, it's a good correction. Rebbe Lazar Omer, Yaviva Demeim Ola. And Rebbe Lazar says that what you're going to do is that you're going to use the proceeds of that sale in order to purchase a carbon Ola. The proceeds of that sale, according to Rebbe Lazar. Now, Rebbe Lazar, the very same Rebbe Lazar of our Mishnah, who told us that who atzmo yikrav ola, that in a scenario where I had a ola nekeva and it had a vlad, so you're going to be offering the vlad directly as a karban. And meanwhile, in this Mishnah, we have Rebbe Lazar saying, nah, by a vlad of a karban asham, and again, vlad of an asham is just a conundrum. It means the original animal was an asham. I tamurid it over to a female. The female then had a male offspring. So under those circumstances, so he says, well, you're going to have to let a graze develop a blemish, and then the proceeds are going to go towards the carbon ola. Now, the obvious problem, bedamim in huatz malo. Only the value of the animal you're going to be offering, but you're not going to be offering the animal itself. Why aren't you going to be offering the animal itself? And so, for a good part of today's daf, we're going to be dealing with the seemingly inconsistent Rebbe Lazar, where on one hand, Rebbe Lazar allows derivatives to be offered directly, even though it's coming from something that can't be offered, like the case of carbon ola. But in the case of carbon asham, when I have a derivative coming off of the original, if the original can't be offered as a carbon, neither can the derivative. So it's an seemingly inconsistent position within Rebbe Lazar regarding the derivative of something that the original can't be offered, and what do I do with it? And so the Gemara is going to offer three possible suggestions, solutions. Amar Rav Chista, we start off with the first one. Rebbe Lazar l'divrem d'rabbanan kamarlohu. So when Rebbe Lazar was espousing a position, he wasn't espousing his position, but rather he was relating to the Chachamim on their terms. So as far as I'm concerned, so the offspring of a female carbonola can be offered as a carbonola. So as far as I'm concerned, offsprings can be offered even though its mother can't be offered. And I say the same thing by carbon asham as well. But according to you, Damrisu, Roe, you say that there has to be a grazing and a blemish and a redemption. So Oduli Mias de Mosros Lindavis Yachidazli. So here's what at least you'll give me. I know you're not going to agree with me, but give me this, that when in fact it is going to be redeemed, where do the proceeds go? Proceeds go to Nedavas Yachid, to private Ola donation, not public. And Vamile Mosul's Nedavas Yibarazle, and to which the Chachamim say to Rebbe Lazar, no, even on that we don't agree. Meaning that where the proceeds go is to public Ola donations, not private Ola donations. Good. That's one way to resolve the issue. It's that Rebbe Lazar was not espousing his own viewpoint. He was just speaking to the Chachamim on their terms, not on his terms. Okay. We find this all the time throughout Shas, where the Gemara gives such an answer and such a defense. The second answer, the Gemara, Rava Amar, Adkan lo kamar Rebbe Lazar, hu atzmo yikrav ola, ela b'mafresh dekeva la ola. Di'ika shem ola al imo. The Gemara now is going to be giving a second answer. This answer, the second answer is going to be much more conceptual. And the second answer, the second conceptual answer of the Gemara is, it goes like this. You see, in a scenario of our Mishnah, where we have now the Vlad of a female Ola. Yes, it's true. I can't offer the mother as a carbon Ola. There is no female that's offered as a carbon Ola. That part's true. But you know what? At least conceptually, it's at least applicable to say that a carbon Ola can come from a female. I'm going to explain that better in just a moment. But at least it has a shame Ola. The mother has a shame Ola. And so therefore, an offspring that comes out of it is able now to identify as a carbon ola, because at least the mother had some sort of attachment or some sort of identification to a carbon ola. Again, I'm going to explain that better in just a moment. And that's why the Vlad can be offered as a carbon ola. However, when it comes to the carbon asham, female asham, no identity whatsoever. There is nothing connecting a female animal to a carbon asham. A carbon asham comes only from an male, exclusively from a male. So when this female asham has a vlad, so the reason why the vlad cannot be offered as a carbon is simply because there is no shaychus whatsoever between a female animal and a carbon asham. And that's why the vlad cannot be offered as a carbon asham.
Isn't the principle that a derivative of something cannot be more available than the original?
Right. So, but what he's arguing is that by the female mother, Ola, the derivative is not being more.
I know, so I'm saying, go ahead and then apply that principle, the derivative of something cannot be more.
So that's effectively what he's arguing. So, Baruch Atan, Mechalom Shekhon Bibur. How can a female animal be a shame Ola? Rashi in the bottom of the Amud offers a couple of suggestions. Take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. He writes, Hamafresh behema la Ola, Ika ala shame Ola. Really, Rashi here should be saying Nekeva. Okay, whatever. When you're setting aside a female animal as a carbon ola, so it has a shame ola. It has an identity of an ola. Why? So Rashi offers two explanations. One, Dahala ola akdashav imishim de Nekeva hi, afilo hachi shame ola ala, shemimitsin Nekeva bola sa'of. Okay, so one suggestion, says Rashi, is that, you know, when it comes to birds, so we only bring birds in one of two types of carbonos, either a chatos or an ola. That's it. Birds are really simple. Although one of the most difficult mesechtas about karbanos coming up And that has to do with the birds. Okay, so, but I could say, for today, I could say it's really easy. Either it's going to come as a chatos or it's going to come as the ola, one or the other. And when it comes to a bird being brought as a carbon ola, so does a bird have to be a male? No. Bird does not have to be a male. Ein tamas v'zachrus be'ofos. A bird does not have to be a perfect bird. It can be blemished. And a bird does not have to be male. Bird can be female. So you see that we're bringing in carbon ola even though it comes from a female. Now, obviously, we're not talking about birds right now. We're talking about animals. But still, the point is being made is that at least an ola can have an identity of being a female. So it happens to be by an animal that's a female. You're not going to be offering it as a carbon ola. We all agree. But at least it's shayach to call it an ola. It has a shame ola on it. And that's why the offspring that comes out of it can be offered. And Rashi continues, va'od, ha'lechishitimakir damel, ola dain l'shem ola. And on top of that, when I have my female carbonola, which we're going to let graze and develop a blemish and sell it, what's going to happen to the proceeds of that sale? The proceeds of that sale is going to go towards a carbonola. So once again, you see that it, even though I can't offer the mother as a carbonola, but when I redeem it, the redemptive money is applied towards a carbonola. Again, speaking to the identity of this animal. Masha Inke, when it comes to carbon asham, so we're 0 for 2 on both of these points, which is why Rashi makes 2 points, because they're both true. When it comes to a carbon asham, so does it have any identification as a female? No. Under no circumstances is an asham going to be brought as a female. Okay, that's one. Two, let's go to Rashi's second point. When it comes to an asham, if we are redeeming the carbon asham, for whatever reason we don't need it, and we're redeeming the carbon asham, where do the proceeds of that sale go towards? Not a carbon asham, but rather a carbonola. So you see that there really is no identity of an asham as it relates to a female. Okay, so with that stated, Rava now is giving our second answer, which is much more conceptual in nature. Because an ola has a female ola has a shem ola, so therefore its offspring can be offered as a carbon directly. By the way, mind you, just so that we don't lose the forest over here, this is all a treatment of the sheet of Rebbe Elazar, meaning the Chacham don't even agree. But we are focusing on the sheet of Rebbe Elazar and the discrepancy within the sheet of Rebbe Elazar. So when we are dealing with a carbon ola, so since a female ola has a shem ola, so therefore its offspring can be offered. Masha Inkin, when it comes to an asham, has no identification, a female asham has no identification as an asham, so therefore its offspring cannot be offered as a carbon asham. Aval gabi tamur zvlad asham, de leka shem ola al imo, mode Rebbe Elazar de bedamav in hu atzmo lo karav. Fine. That is the Shita of Rabbi Lazar and Rava's understanding of the discrepancy between the two. They both have Kedusha Sagov. Right? Every carbon has Kedusha Sagov. Every carbon. So the Gemara says, okay. So this idea of Shem Ola, let's see if your idea, your conceptualization, let's see if it really plays out. We're going to be learning together now a Tosefta. The Tosefta in Pesachim teaches us the following. Hamafrish dekevel pischa. Person sets aside a female animal as a carbon Pesach. Now, carbon Pesach, on one hand, behaves mostly like a carbon Shlamim. On the other hand, the Torah could not be any clearer. Carbon Pesach has to come from a male animal, not a female animal. Okay. And you set aside a female animal as a carbon Pesach. Okay. You missed. You got it wrong. But now, what becomes now of the Kedusha of such an animal? So so what you're going to do now is let it graze, develop a blemish, redeem it, and the proceeds of that sale are going to be applied towards a good carbon Pesach. In this case, it means a male carbon Pesach. Yalda. Now, what if our female carbon Pesach then gives birth? What then? So then, for as far as the vlad is concerned, same thing. You're going to let it graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and the redemption money is going to go towards the purchasing of a carbon Pesach. Nishtara achar Pesach. Now, let's say I have my carbon Pesach and I didn't use it on Pesach, which actually makes a lot of sense. It's a female. You can't use it on Pesach. But now it's after Pesach. It's post-Pesach. So what do I do with it? So tirachi yistai v'yavi b'damei ha'shlamim. So now what you're going to do is as follows. You're going to sell it and the proceeds, I'm sorry, graze, develop a blemish, sell it. Proceeds of the sale are going to go towards a carbon shlamim. Yalda, what if she gives birth post-Pesach? Yirat shistavi yamakar v'yaviba damav shlamim. So what you're going to do is you're going to be offering it after Pesach as, you're not going to be offering it. Great. I jumped ahead. You're going to, again, blemish, redemption, and the proceeds are going to go towards the carbon shlamim. Okay, so the Chachamim's position is very clear. The animal's not going to be offered as a carbon under no circumstances. Not before Pesach, not on Pesach, not after Pesach. Meaning, it's in a cave as Pesach, and therefore it has Kedusha Seguf, but you're not going to be offering it. Here we get to the part, Rebbe Lazar Omer, Hu Atzmo Yikra B'Shlamim, that after Pesach, it can be offered as a carbon Shlamim. Now, on one hand, that's exactly what we expected Rebbe Lazar to say. He feels that a derivative of a carbon, even though the carbon, the original, cannot be offered, but as long as the derivative can be offered as that kind of carbon, so therefore it's good. Here's what bothers the Gemara. V'ha'acha d'lecha shem shlamim alimo. V'amir Rebbe Lazar yikrav shlamim. Now the Gemara for a moment is entertaining the idea that post-Pesach, so this carbon Pesach doesn't have a shem shlamim, and so therefore how are you offering the offspring as a carbon? That's the question, but I think we all basically already can see the answer. So Amalei Rava, Achra Pesach Kamar, Chani Achra Pesach, the most of Pesach Gufei Krav Shlamim. So the answer is, what are you talking about? After Pesach, the carbon is the carbon Pesach. After Pesach, the carbon is a carbon Shlamim. So we say this time and again, Moser HaPesach, any residual carbon Pesach, any surplus carbon Pesach, any carbon Pesach that's not used. So it's a Shlamim. It diverts to becoming a Shlamim. And so I say that doesn't happen that often in Kachim where one carbon consigns to another carbon, but an Ashim consigns to an Ola, and a Pesach consigns to a Shlamim, provided that you don't offer it on Pesach proper. So Yachi Niflag Nami Bereisha. So the Gemara says, great. So let me ask you a simple question. So that's true post-Pesach. You know what that also should be true? Should be true before Pesach as well. The only time that the Pesach is not a Shlamim is on Pesach proper, on the 14th day of Nisan. But before the 14th day of Nisan, or after the 14th day of Nisan, so it identifies as a Shlamim. So that means that the Vlad that comes out of it should be offered as a Shlamim. And meanwhile, in the Braisa, the only time Rebbe Lazar conflicted with the Tanakama is only post-Pesach, not before Pesach. So the answer, Amar Lei, Inachinami Upligi. So Rebbe says, okay, look, I know you're reading the Braisa very critically. You did a good job. But I'm telling you that Rebbe Lazar argues both after Pesach and before Pesach. Anytime that you have this Nekevas Pesach, not on Pesach proper, either before or after, so because it has a Shem Shlamim, so that means the offspring that comes out of it is in fact going to have, it can actually directly be offered as a carbon Shlamim and does not have to allow to be grazed, develop a blemish, and proceeds going towards the Shlamim.
So
good.
So you can't mafkish a goat 3 days before Pesach, you call it a Shlamim?
No, you're going to call it a carbon Pesach.
Yes.
You're right. So I understand. But if you offered it before Pesach, it's offered as a Shlamim.
If you offer it,
yeah. Latent within every carbon Pesach is a carbon Shlamim. Yeah. And so therefore, offered any other day, it's offered as a Shlamim. It's just not on Pesach proper. Abai now is going to address the same issue. Now, the truth of the matter is that he's also going to present to us a big idea. And the truth of the matter is it really resolves our original dilemma, right? The seemingly inconsistent Rebbe Lazar. By Ola and the Vlad of a Olas Nekeva, Rebbe Lazar says, that's going to be offered directly. By an Asham, he says it's not going to be offered, but rather you're going to let a graze develop a blemish, and the proceeds are going to be offered as a carbon ola. And so what we've been doing this morning is addressing the inconsistency. So far we've given two answers. Rav Chista said, Rav Elazar would agree by Asham, it's offered directly. He was only addressing the Chachamim on their terms, not on his terms. That's one answer. The second answer was Rava. Rava says, he introduces us to this idea of Shem Ola versus Shem Asham. At least a female Ola has some identity as a carbon Ola. That's not true regarding a female Asham. And so, fine. And then we had to deal with the Nekevas Pesach. But Rava says it's the same thing. It's the same halacha. Abai now is going to introduce us to now our next big idea of this morning. Abai Amar Lo Palig Midi. Abai says, look, let's go back to the Pesach case, and eventually we're also going to go back to the Asham case as well. There's no difference. In other words, Rebbe Lazar is not going to be arguing in the case of the Karm Pesach, neither before Pesach, not on Pesach. He's only going to be arguing after Pesach. Why? Because Gemiri. Because we have the following tradition. L'makam sham moser holech, havlad holech. You want to know, according to Rebbe Lazar, again, all this is a study of Rebbe Lazar. You want to know, according to Rebbe Lazar, when it is that the Vlad is going to be offered directly as a carbon? Well, look at what we do with a mosar. Anytime I have a surplus of a carbon, whatever I do with the surplus, that's what we're going to do with the vlad. So if I have a surplus of carbon pesach, so let's see what happens with that surplus, with that mosar. When I say surplus, what do I mean? The classic example of a surplus is, I was mafresh a carbon pesach, I lost the carbon pesach, I replaced it with another, I offered the second one, and then I find the original. So now, that carbon pesach, which I no longer need, so that's a case of mosar. It's a simple case of mosar. So whatever I do with the mosar, that's what I'm going to do with the vlad. That's the rule of Rebbe Elazar. So let's now plug that rule in. L'achar pesach the mosar krav shlamim vlad nami krav shlamim. That's why, perfect. After Pesach, what do I do with the carbon Pesach after Pesach? I no longer need it for Pesach. And don't tell me, by the way, that I'll just use it next Pesach, because next Pesach, the animal's going to be too old. Fine. So after Pesach, this is now what's called the Moser Pesach. What do I do with the Moser Pesach? I offer it as a Shlamim. Perfect. So therefore, according to Rebbe Elazar, what happens with the Vlad of such an animal? Offered as a Shlamim. Avalifne Pesach, imelamai akdashol d'mei Pesach, vlad namil d'mei Pesach. But before Pesach, that's not true. Because before Pesach, now this person was mafresh a nekeva. Again, he got it wrong. But on the he got it wrong, but it's salvageable. Because really what he's saying is I'm earmarking the funds of this animal towards the carbon Pesach. Okay, fine. So now, if we're talking about earmarking the funds for a carbon Pesach, and we're before Pesach, so you know what I do with the funds? Easy. So whatever I generate, whatever money I generate from this carbon is going to go towards the carbon Pesach. What if it's a Mosar? Same story. Story is that I'm obviously earmarking its funds to a Karban Pesach, so all funds that it generates is going to go towards a Karban Pesach. And that's why before Pesach, if it produces a Vlad, that too is also going to go towards a Karban Pesach, and it cannot be offered as a Shlamim. That is Abaye's explanation. And to that now, we can go back to the case of the Asham versus the Ola, and it's the same story. Meaning that when it comes to a Ola, if I have Mosar Ola, if I have any surplus of a carbon Ola, it goes towards the carbon Ola. So what do I do with the Vlad? Vlad also can be offered as an Ola. But if I have an Asham, can I use the Mosar Asham as an Asham? And the answer is no. Any surplus of a carbon Asham cannot be offered as a carbon Asham. Therefore, the Vlad also cannot be offered as a carbon Asham. Okay, good. So once we have this big idea that the Vlad follows a Mosar, whatever is the conclusion of a Mosar is going to be the conclusion of a Vlad. So now we have, according to Abaye, a wonderful way of resolving the case of Karban Pesach, the case of Karban Asham, contrasting it to the case of a Karban Ola. It works. Mesiv Rav Ukva Bar Chama, sorry. Umi amrina midi'ime l'demei Vlad nami l'demei v'atanya. So the Gemara says, let's consider now another brisa. And this other brisa deals with the following scenario. Once again, Hamafresh nekev lapesach hi uvladoseha yiru achisavu v'yemaker v'yemachu v'yavi b'demehem pesach. So, according to the Tanakhama, if a person sets aside a female animal as a carbon pesach, so it and its offspring are going to be earmarked for its funds to be applied to a carbon pesach. Rebbe Elazar omer hu atzmo yikra pesach. And Rebbe Elazar says, no, the offspring itself could be offered as a carbon pesach. What just happened over here? V'ahacha di'ime l'demei. Now wait 1 second. The mother can only be offered l'damim. The mother only can be only the funds of the mother can be used towards the carbon pesach. And now you're telling me, so that's the mosar, right? That's all the surplus. And so now if the mother's funds can be used for a carbon pesach and only for a carbon pesach, so the same thing is going to be true with the vlad. Vlad can only be used not directly as a carbon pesach, but only its funds earmarked as a carbon pesach. How Abaye? How do you address this scenario? So I'm rereading the question. V'ahacha di'ime l'demei. V'ama Rebbe Elazar hu atzmo kra pesach v'lo makmin la bi'ime. So how can this be? How can we be offering the offspring as a carbon pesach directly? Amar Ravina. So Ravina says in defense of Abaye. B'mafresh behema mu'ber saskinan. And Rebbe Elazar sever k'Rebbe Yochanan d'amar. Im shairo mishuyar de uba lav yerech imahu v'imohi de lokasha kedusha seguf aval hi kedusha. So the Gemara is basically going to say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give an ukimta. We'll give a circumstance to that particular brisa. That brisa is not talking about where it was a carbon and then it conceived, but rather when you were makdashit, it was already pregnant. When it was already pregnant, when you were makdashit, so what do I have now? I have two animals. Well, do I have two animals? So you remember, this is the classic debate that we had between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada earlier in the Masechta. And here it comes up again in today's daf. Let's assume, like Rav Yochanan, a mother and the fetus inside are two separate animals, halachically distinct animals. Ubar lav yarchimahu. So according to Rav Yochanan, now we can play around. I don't mean that, you know, at like fun and games, but I mean now that we can separate. So here we have a scenario where the mother and the fetus, I'm being makdish them. So literally, I can now halachically separate them as two separate entities. The mother obviously cannot be offered as a Karban Pesach, so therefore what I'm saying by the mother is, I want her funds to be for a Karban Pesach. But the offspring inside, uber lav yerech imahu, it's a separate legal entity, and so therefore I can make the offspring inside a Karban Pesach, that would be fine. That would be the case over there, and it would not offend the rule of Abaye, and we're good. In fact, a critical reading of the Braisa, it's not a forced answer. Actually, the Braisa reads really well, because the Braisa says, he uvladoseha, she and her offspring, meaning she's already pregnant. That's the case of the Braisa. And assuming like Rebbe Lazar holds like Rav Yochanan, it's very good. The mother is only earmarked for a Karban Pesach. Funds are earmarked for a Karban Pesach, but the offspring inside, Mamash a Karban Pesach. We're on the top of your testament base. Am Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinin, Amod, Rabbi Lazar, Bemafresh, Nekevla Asham, De'im Benakrav Asham. So now the Gemara says that Rabbi Lazar agrees in the following scenario, where if I'm Mafresh and Nekevla for a Karban Asham, that the offspring is not offered as a Karban Asham. Now, based on everything we're saying, we knew that already. Meaning, that's what started our entire discussion within Rabbi Lazar. And in fact, it's such an obvious point now, the Gemara says Peshitta. Right? Didn't we all know that? So, Adkan lo kam Rebbe Lazar. No. Standard case. Sorry, standard case. That what we just said was in Ukimta and the Braisa, the Gemara now, right, the period. In other words, this is now just a... This is not a Muberis. This is now just a standard case of a Vlad. Am Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinina, Mod Rebbe Lazar, B'mafesh, Tekev, L'ashem, Dei, B'nakrav, Ashem. So the Rebbe Lazar will agree that by an asham, where I'm makdish a nekevas asham, so because the mother is not going to be offered as a carbon asham, what I'm doing is I'm basically using her to fund a carbon asham, so the offspring cannot be offered as a carbon asham. Now again, pshita. Ad kan lo kamer Rebbe Lazar ala b'mafresh nekev la ola, dikashem ola limo. Avagabi mafresh nekev la asham, delekashem asham limo, afilu Rebbe Lazar moda lo krev asham. Gemara says, isn't that where we... what we've been saying the entire day. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because I'm making it out like the Gemara is so black and white. It's really not. Meaning, because remember, we gave a number of approaches of how to understand Rav Elazar. The Gemara over here goes back to Rava's approach. Meaning, Abaye gave a new approach, which is the idea of wherever the Moser goes, that's what happens to the Vlad. So, the Gemara is, in fact, heading back towards Rava, but okay, but still. According to Rava, we have this idea of shame imo. Listen, as long as the mother can identify as a Karban Ola, so the Vlad can be brought as a Karban Ola. So by an Asham, in a Kevas Asham, so there is no identity of a female when it comes to Karban Asham. Good. So we made this distinction. And the Gemara says, and we already made this distinction. So what are you adding to the discussion? So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, okay, but without this clarification, I would have given a different svara within Rebbe Lazar. What svara would I have given? A really simple one. And that is that the mother is ineligible to be brought as a carbon, because the mother is a female, a carbon ola. But if it has a male offspring, so the male offspring can be brought as a carbon ola. Meaning, and I wouldn't have gotten into the conceptualization of shame ola, not shame ola. I would have said very simply that, can I offer the offspring as an ola? Yes, good, offer it as an ola. If my argument would have been that simple, I would have said the same thing by Karban Asham as well. The mother can't be offered as a Karban Asham, but its male offspring can be offered as a Karban Asham. Okay, let's go. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, why didn't he make a bigger chiddush? And the bigger chiddush would have been that when my Asham, my female Asham, has a male offspring, maybe make the following statement. Tell me that it can't be offered as a carbon asham. Okay, that's a chiddush. I'll tell you a bigger chiddush. It can't be offered as a carbon ola. Meaning, remember, an asham that is mosa, that any residual, any surplus of a carbon asham is going to be offered as an ola. Can I view the vlad basically as a residual of the mother and offer it as a carbon ola? Tell me that. That would have been a bigger chiddush. The Gemara says, no, it wouldn't have been. Now, in our Gemara, we have the word ubra, probably should say ola. But anyway, the Gemara basically says no, because if Rav Yossi would have made that statement, Rav Yossi Bar Chanina would have said that according to Rabbi Lazar, you have a female ashram and it produces a child and it can't be offered as an ola. I would have said, yeah, that's right, it can't be offered as an ola because the mother wasn't muktash as a carbon ola. The mother was muktash as a carbon asham. Ava asham, ema, vlad krav asham. But if the mother would have had a male animal, I would have said, offer the male offspring as a carbon asham. So kamash malan. So what Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina want to be super clear about is that under all circumstances, regardless of what the female asham had as an offspring, it cannot be offered as any kind of carbon, neither an ola nor an asham as well. Okay, let's quickly recap. I'm going to go a little bit further today, but let's quickly recap. So our Mishnah introduces us to the idea of a tamura of an ola and the vlad tamura of an ola. So in a scenario in which I have an animal that is a carbonola, standard carbonola, and then I tamured it over to a female animal, and that female animal had an offspring, so under those circumstances, the offspring can be offered as a carbonola. Now, either that there were two possibilities that we learned in today's daf. Either that is the shita only of Rebbe Elazar, the Chachamim would disagree. No, that would be the shita of the Chachamim as well. How could that be the shita of the Chachamim? It's very simple, because the original mother, the original animal, I didn't mean mother. I'm just using the Gemara's language. The original animal is, in fact, a kasher carbon. Okay, where does the excitement begin today? It begins where you were mafrish a nekevas ola. A female animal that you set aside as a carbon ola. Obviously cannot be offered as a carbon ola. You're basically using it to fund a carbon ola, but it itself cannot be offered as a carbon ola. And it has an offspring. What do we do with the offspring? So here we have a major machlokus in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar. Chachamim says same thing. The offspring is only there to fund a carbon ola, but you're not going to bring it as a carbon ola. And Rav Elazar says, no, you bring it as a carbon ola. Why, according to Rav Elazar, do you bring it as a carbon ola? So in today's daf, we were introduced to two big ideas. One possibility, this is Rava's big idea, is that, well, because the mother has a shame ola. The mother has some sort of identity as a carbon ola. Rashi gave a couple of pshat, and we went over that earlier this morning. But whatever the case is, the mother has some sort of identity as a carbon ola, so then its production, its child, therefore, can be brought as a carbon ola. That's not true by an asham, that's not true by a pesach, as we discussed earlier, but it is true by an ola. I'm sorry. Just one correction. It is true by Pesach. A female Pesach does have a shame. Well, doesn't have a shame Pesach. It has a shame Shlomim. Okay, little tweak. Fine. That's one big idea. The other big idea we saw this morning was Abaye. Abaye says in response to explaining Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar's rule is that whatever we do with the Moser, that's what we do with the Vlad. If the Moser is going to be offered as a carbon, so we're going to do the same thing with the Vlad as well. So by carbon ola, where it's now a residual, it's a surplus, and I didn't need it anymore. So what do we do with it? It goes towards the carbon ola. It's applied towards the carbon ola. So if it has a Vlad, same thing. The Vlad is also offered as a carbon ola. If I have any residual asham, is it offered as an asham? The answer, of course, is no. So therefore, the Vlad is not going to be offered as an asham as well. Good. And that idea of Abaye also beautifully explained the carbon Pesach and the rights regarding carbon Pesach.
When you make this a female for ola, the offspring, does it matter if it was Makdish conceived before or after Makdish?
Yeah, in other words, if it conceived afterwards, so then we get on to the question of Rav Yochanan Bar Pada.
Right. Separate.
Right, it's a separate issue.
And if it was before?
And if it was before, then we have our discussion. That's our Gemara's discussion. Okay. Tamur's Asham. What happened? I'm sorry. Hamafrish Nekeval Asham. Sorry. We're up to the Mishnah on Yud Tesamid Beis, and we're just going to go a little bit into the Gemara. Hamafrish Nekeval Asham, so I set aside a female animal as a carbon asham. So again, what does that mean? It means that this animal is not being brought as a carbon asham. Asham only comes from a male. This animal is basically funding my carbon asham. So, Tirachi Tisaviti Makavi Avi Bidameha Asham. So exactly, so it funds it. So you're going to have to sell it, but you can't sell until it gets a blemish. Right? Again, it's a... If you're just thinking it from a larger picture, it is a bit of an oddity. Meaning, because I can't offer this animal as a carbon asham, and meanwhile, it's still going to have kedushas aguf. I can't sell it until it develops a blemish. It's a really big idea. I know I'm going over it really quickly, but if you just take a moment to think about it, you're right, you could have made an argument that it shouldn't have Kedusha Sukkot at all. Right, correct. But the way to understand it, and that clearly this is the way this is the understanding, is that despite the fact that I'm using it as funding, it's the source of my funding, but at the same time also, it's still going to have Kedusha Sukkot, and therefore I can only sell it only after it develops a blemish. V'im krav ashamo yiplu dama v'ndava. Now, If your ashram has already been bought, meaning that you had another carbon ashram that was bought, so then what's going to do with the funds of this animal which you no longer need? So then dava, it goes to public voluntary olas. Rabbi Shimon Omer Timakir Shelo Bimam. Now, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that, you know, you could sell this carbon ashram and you don't have to wait till it gets a blemish. Meaning, you know that idea that I just entertained earlier in the Mishnah? That's actually Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, what do you mean, wait till it gets a blemish? You don't have to wait till it gets a blemish. In other words, the only point of you being Makdishas animal is because you wanted to fund your carbon. You never intended for Kedusha Seguf to come onto this animal, and so therefore you could sell it even before it gets a blemish. Gemara starts off, Alamali tista ev, timakir kevin delochazi lamilsa, hainu muma. And in fact, this idea of Rabbi Shimon is such a strong idea. Basically, what the Gemara asks is, how does the Tanna Kama argue with that? Meaning, basically, the Gemara is wondering, according to the Tanna Kama, Rabbi Shimon's right. You're not trying to make this a carbon. You're just using this as a source of funding. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Hainu Taima de Amrina, Migu de Nachta Kedushas Damim Nachta Nami Kedushas Agof. Okay. So here's an idea. We've seen this idea earlier in the Masechta, and the more we just keep repeating this idea, the better chance I'm going to have of understanding it. Better chance. When you invest a Kedushas Damim into an animal, where the animal itself is eligible to be brought as a carbon, so immediate upgrade. Now, again, when I say immediate upgrade, here's where, in my mind, I get a little bit stuck. I'm not totally stuck, but a little bit. I say upgrade, meaning it's going to get Kedushas Aguf. I can't offer it as a carbon. In this scenario, I set aside a female animal as a carbon asha. So we're talking now about this idea of upgrade. It's a strong idea. Even though I didn't want the animal as a carbon, I only wanted it to fund my carbon, but nevertheless, it's an animal eligible to be brought as any other type of carbon. Upgrade. Now, upgrade over here doesn't help you. You're not moving from coach to first class because you're not really bringing this animal as a carbon, but a conceptual upgrade. And that's why it's a little bit hard to really process this idea.
If you think of it as a downgrade, it's better.
I know, but the
because it could have been a carbon, so it's not carbon, so downgrade, and that makes it much easier.
I know. I can accuse myself of overthinking it. I'm going to accuse you of overthinking it as well. It's an upgrade. Meaning in Kedusha Sukkot obviously means that it's intrinsically kadosh, and so that's why you need a mum in order to redeem, in order to then use its proceeds for your carbon. Amar Rava Zosameris. Now Rava says, now this idea of upgrade. So it's not the first time we've seen it. We've seen the statement of Rava earlier in the Masechta, a little over a week ago. But now in the context of our Gemara, it actually fits in perfectly. That if you're makdish an animal for its value, meaning it's a perfectly eligible animal to be brought as a carbon. But I didn't want to bring it as a carbon. I just wanted it for Kedushas Damim. I want to use it as a source of funding. Okay, you know what happens to that animal? Whoop. Goes right up to having Kedusha Seguf because of this principle. Itmar, the Gemara points out, Rava didn't always say this. Rava used to be on the other side of this issue. Hita Zachal Adamav, if let's say I take a male animal, I'm makdish it as a carbonola, but I don't want to bring it as a carbonola, I only want its value to be carbonola. Rav Kahana Amar Kadosh Kedusha Seguf. Rav said that it has Kedusha Seguf, meaning upgrade, and Rava Amar Ina Kadosh Kedusha Seguf. Now, Rava originally said it does not have Kedushas Aguf. And then, upon further contemplation, Rava said, you know what? Rav Kahana's right. He's right. In other words, upgrade. Now, how do I know that? Based on our discussion that we're having right now. Meaning, consider what the Tanakhama of our Mishnah just taught us. Tanakhama of our Mishnah taught us that if you're a Makdish, a Nekeva is a Karbon Asham, so now what becomes of this animal? even though you clearly meant it as a source of funding, but this animal is eligible to be brought as a carbon. What happens? Goes right up. Going from Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Aguf. And now you can't offer it as a carbon asham, right? That's the conundrum of the Mishnah. But the solution is you let it develop a blemish, then sell it. But again, you see clearly from this Mishnah the idea of direct upgrade. Rabbi Shimon Omer Timakir Shelo B'mum. Now Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Now Amar LeRav Chia Bar Avin LeRav Yochanan Amigu Denachle LeKedushas Damim Tichuach Le Nami Kedushas Aguf. Now the Gemara basically goes in the other direction. Now we're introduced to this idea of upgrade. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree with this idea of upgrade. So Amar Le Rabbi Shimon Latame Da Amar Kol Midah DeLachazi LeLeGufe LoNachle LeKedushas Aguf. So Rabbi Shimon's position is that no, in general, I do agree with upgrade, but not here, because a female cannot be offered as a carbon asham. If the female cannot be offered as a carbon asham, so therefore its original investment of kedusha will never achieve kedushas aguf, because if I can offer this animal as a carbon asham, it therefore never qualifies as kedushas aguf. D'tanya, and he says, and I'm going to quote you a brisa that's going to make this point as clear as possible. Asham ben shana ve'yaviu ben shnayim. Now, when it comes to carbon asham, so there are not that many averas in the Torah where you bring a carbon asham. It's a limited number. But even within the limited number of averas in the Torah where you bring carbon asham, not every carbon asham is the same. They're all male animals, but in terms of the age of the sheep, so sometimes it's a one-year-old, sometimes it's a two-year-old. For asham gzela, for asham me'ila, for asham ashivcha charufa. So the Torah there says ayo. It has to be a two-year-old. By the way, by animals, I say two-year-old, I mean meaning in its second year. By a asham of a nazir and an asham of a mitzara, a keves. So it's a one-year-old. Okay? And I wish I could tell you that I have this like locked into my brain. Unfortunately, not yet. Rashi gave me that good information. So anyway, so asham ben shana ve'eviu shtayim. Ben shtayim ve'eviu ben shana. K'shere v'lo alu l'balim. L'shem chova. So you bring a carbon asham. It just happens to be that for your particular asham need, you got the wrong aged animal. So the animal is still going to be a good carbon, but you didn't bring the right carbon. You brought the wrong aged carbon. No good. Meaning you have not fulfilled your obligation. You have not satisfied your obligation. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol atzmam in a kedoshim. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, I'm going to go one step further. It doesn't have kedushas aguf. If it can't be offered as a carbon of your intent, so it's not going to have kedushas aguf. Now, v'harim mechusas man delo chazei. Now, mechusas man, meaning where's the ineligibility? Well, if you need a one-year-old and it's a two-year-old, so the ineligibility is old age. Okay, and what can I tell you about old age? It's irreversible. But the Gemara says, but let's go in the other direction. You need a two-year-old and you set aside a one-year-old. Right now, what's the problem? Problem is that it's just premature. If we wait a little bit, it'll be fine. So this is what's called an alach mechusas man. The Amar of Shimon de Kadosh. So the Gemara says, and so mechusas man, now in terms of an ineligibility, it's really, of the ineligibilities out there, it's the least of them. Because all you have to do is just wait. And the situation will correct itself. So shani mechusas man de chazil amachar. So the Gemara says, mechusas man, yeah, so you wait till tomorrow and it's fine. So ihachi asham ben shtayim ve'eviu ben shana ha'chazil shana. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Shimon's position, look, I get the basic idea of Rabbi Shimon. If I can't offer this carbon for its intended purpose, so therefore it does not have kedushas aguf. I get his idea. But if I needed to bring a two-year-old, and I set aside a one-year-old, so the problem that exists is only mechusas man. And we know that according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not a problem. It's just simply a question of waiting. Elahainu tamid Rabbi Shimon mechusas man di'afleim ebechor kid detanya. So the Gemara says, Mechusas man, according to Rabbi Shimon, is actually a limud. It's not a svara. We learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon, and Yehuda Amar Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Mechusas man nechnas adir, lisa ser. Va'arei hi kebechor. Ma bechor karosh lefnei zmano v'karav la'achar zmano, av Mechusas man karosh lefnei zmano v'karav la'achar zmano. So as far as Mechusas man is concerned, so we have a drasha. Now the drasha tells us the following. Let's say I have a whole bunch of animals that are born this year. So as we learned in the last parak of Masechta Brachoros, so we do the mitzvah of Maaseh Behema. And we count 10 animals. Well, let's say one of the animals that's being counted right now was born 5 days ago. Okay? Animals are great. They can walk pretty quickly after birth. Right? A couple hours after birth. So so now 5 days. So am I having a walking through the pen? Well, let's take the following into consideration. It's Mechusas Man. I can only bring an animal after its 8th day and onward, but not any time earlier. So is it put in the pen as a counter? The answer is yes, it is. How do I know that? It's a limud from Bechor. The limud from Bechor teaches me that Bechor, so it's going to have Kedushas Bechor a little over a week before it's eligible. Meaning, when does the animal have Kedushas Bechor? At birth. When can be offered as a karban? Only 8 days. Ah, so you see that Mechusar Zman by Bechor is not a psul, neither is it going to be a psul by Meiser Behema as well. Okay, good. So in other words, when it comes to Mechusar Zman, so based on the limudim, it would be okay. But that doesn't translate to our discussion, because our discussion is that the Torah demanded you bring a two-year-old, and you brought a one-year-old. At this point in time, it is not eligible to be brought as your karban, as your type of karban asham. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, Eino Kadosh. It does not have Kedushas Guf, it only has Kedushas Dama. Okay, let's recap the second half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, we talked about being Mafrish Nikevas Asham. And so really the big question is that obviously it's not cannot be offered as a Karban Asham. Is it going to have Kedushas Guf? Tanakama of Ramisha says yes. Rabbi Shimon of Ramisha says no. And the question is basically automatic upgrade. If an animal is eligible to be brought as a carbon, even though it's not the carbon you wanted to bring, but it's eligible to be brought as a carbon, is it going to experience automatic upgrade? According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, yes, it will. It will experience automatic upgrade. And Rava subscribes to this. Well, I mean, say Rava, meaning it's the Chachamim, the Shita's Chachamim. But Rava uses it then to explain the halacha that if I, let's say, take an animal where I'm expressly stating I only want to have Kedushas Damim, that's very nice, your express statement. Nevertheless, automatic upgrade. It goes to Kedushas Aguf. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees because he feels that any animal that cannot be offered as a carbon of your intent is not going to have Kedushas Aguf.